Is Ezekiel chapter 45, the Old Testament reading. Please turn with me there. Ezekiel chapter 45, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Moreover, when ye shall divide by lot the land for inheritance, ye shall offer an oblation unto the Lord, an holy portion of the land. The length shall be the length of 25,000 reeds, and the breadth shall be 10,000. This shall be holy in all the borders thereof round about. Of this there shall be for the sanctuary 500 in length, with 500 in breadth, square round about, and 50 cubits round about for the suburbs thereof. And of this measure shalt thou measure the length of 25,000, and the breadth of 10,000, and in it shall be the sanctuary and the most holy place. The holy portion of the land shall be for the priests, the ministers of the sanctuary, which shall come near to minister unto the Lord. And it shall be a place for their houses, and an holy place for the sanctuary. And the 25,000 of length, and the 10,000 of breadth, shall also the Levites, the ministers of the house, have for themselves for a possession for 20 chambers. And ye shall appoint the possession of the city 5,000 broad, and 25,000 long, over against the oblation of the holy portion. It shall be for the whole house of Israel. And a portion shall be for the prince on the one side and on the other side of the oblation of the holy portion and of the possession of the city, before the oblation of the holy portion and before the possession of the city, from the west side westward and from the east side eastward. And the length shall be over against one of the portions from the west border unto the east border. In the land shall be his possession in Israel, and my princes shall no more oppress my people, and the rest of the land they shall give to the house of Israel according to their tribes. Thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel, remove violence and spoil, and execute judgment and justice, and take away your exactions from my people, saith the Lord God. Ye shall have just balances, and a just ephah, and a just bath. The ephah and the bath shall be of one measure, that the bath may contain the tenth part of an omer, and the ephah the tenth part of an homer. The measure thereof shall be after the homer. And the shekel shall be 20 gerahs, 20 shekels, 25 shekels, 15 shekels shall be your maneh. This is the oblation that ye shall offer, the sixth part of an ephah of an homer of wheat. And ye shall give the sixth part of an ephah of an homer of barley. Concerning the ordinance of oil, the bath of oil ye shall offer, the tenth part of a bath out of the core, which is a homer of 10 baths, for 10 baths are an homer. And one lamb out of the flock, out of 200, out of the fat pastures of Israel, for a meat offering, and for a burnt offering, and for peace offerings, to make reconciliation for them, saith the Lord God. All the people of the land shall give this oblation for the prince in Israel. And it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings and meat offerings and drink offerings in the feasts and in the new moons and in the Sabbaths. In all solemnities of the house of Israel, he shall prepare the sin offering and the meat offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings to make reconciliation for the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the first month, in the first day of the month, thou shalt take a young bullock without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering and put it upon the posts of the house and upon the four corners of the settle of the altar and upon the posts of the gate of the inner court. And so thou shalt do the seventh day of the month for every one that erreth and for him that is simple, so that ye shall reconcile the house. In the first month, in the 14th day of the month, ye shall have the Passover a feast of 7 days, unleavened bread shall be eaten. And upon that day shall the prince prepare for himself and for all the people of the land a bullock for a sin offering. And 7 days of the feast he shall prepare a burnt offering to the Lord, 7 bullocks and 7 rams without blemish daily for the 7 days, and a kid of the goats daily for a sin offering. And he shall prepare a meat offering of an ephah for a bullock, and an ephah for a ram, and an hin of oil for an ephah. In the 7th month, in the 15th day of the month, shall he do the like in the feast of the 7 days, according to the sin offering, and according to the burnt offering, and according to the meat offering, and according to the oil. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, we're going to continue on with the same theme that we have been covering thus far, and that is that this is an idyllic, prophetic picture of the New Testament church given under the forms and structures of the Old Testament church, under things that would be readily understood by the original recipients. I mean, think of it, right? Think of it if you were to talk to an Israelite in Ezekiel's day and say something like this: in that day there shall be no sacrifices at all. What would they be thinking? Oh, well, that's going to be a day of great judgment. That's going to be a day like today when we are captive and away from our city and away from the temple and away from all of that sacrifice that we might otherwise do. No, it would not do to give the Israelites the picture of the New Testament church under New Testament forms, because they would have no hook to hang that on. They would have no context to understand that. So the context that we read here in Ezekiel 45 is a context of much glory, much opulence, richness, supply. We have a prince that is magnanimous, and he's going to provide the offerings for all of the people. Well, there's a lesson in that, right? There's a picture in that. He's going to sprinkle the house and the settle and the posts and the ceiling of it with blood. Why would he do that? Because he's going to cleanse the house. He's going to be that very cleanser, right? The washer with the water of the word. He's going to cleanse his house. He's going to celebrate with them the Passover and the Feast of Booths. That's what it says. That's the feast of the 7th month, the week-long feast where they dwelt in hovels all about Jerusalem to read some of the historical stories about what Jerusalem was transformed into. It was like a great big campground, right? They came from all over the tribes of Israel, and they would bundle up these sticks on their wagons. Because why? Because the pickings would be slim in and around Jerusalem because of all the people that were there. So they would bring their own sticks with them, and they would settle all around the city, all around there near the Mount of Olives and in the Brook Kidron. And they would have with them their branches, and they would make their little hovels that they would dwell in for 7 days. That's the feast of the 7th month that we read about toward the end of the chapter. Well, those two particular feasts are mentioned because Christ is particularly seen in them, is he not? He is seen as our Passover, who is sacrificed for us. Paul will write in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And he is also seen as, the Apostle John will write, as the one who has tabernacled with us. So this is a picture then of the church, given the New Testament church, under forms that are familiar to the people of God of that age. So let's pick out just a few of them and then we'll be done. First of all, notice that the size of the place, the size of it. So you'll see that the word reeds is in italics. The word reeds is not in the original, but I think it is rightly inserted there by the Authorized Version translators, which makes for a temple compound that is 2,066,115.7 acres. Obviously, that's not a literal number, but it is a number to show the great success of the gospel, the success of the church and the temple of Jesus Christ, as we heard this morning, the sanctuary, as it spreads over the whole earth. Notice that there is that this land is the portion that is literally lifted up to the Lord. Not just boundaried, but lifted up to Him. That is, it is lifted up like those heave offerings of old. It is a land that is His. It is a place of His habitation that belongs to Him most specifically. Notice also, it is well furnished and well fitted. This temple compound, which is 500 by 500 reeds around, is also buffered by 50 cubits on every side, and that is also to be kept holy. Notice that the Levites are cared for such that they will not be left wanting and tempted in their ministry. And we note finally that there is a portion preserved for the priesthood, there's a portion preserved for the people, and a portion preserved for the prince. And they all commune together here in this place. In the second section, verses 9 through 12, we are going to settle out just weights and measures. There is a mention of the civil magistracy in this vision of the temple because civil magistracy is required to preserve and support and to make a way for the church in the world. And so one of the things that the civil magistracy does is develop a just measure and a just weight. You know why, right? So the Lord can receive His due. Right? So those very earthly things end up having a holy use so that the Lord will receive His due. How will you know what to offer to the Lord with regard to your hin and your bath and your homer and your shekel if that is a movable target? How will you know what to give to the Lord? What belongs to Him? And so notice we have a mention of the civil magistrate who will work civilly, that there will be a just balance, a just ephah, and a just bath. And the ephah and the bath shall be of one measure, that the bath may contain the tenth part of an omer, and the ephah the tenth part of an omer. The measure thereof shall be after the omer. And the shekel shall be 20 gerahs. You know, why are we getting down into the weeds here, Ezekiel? The people of God hear those words in that day, and they recognize the great advantage that it is to have a just ephah and a just bath and just measures and weights. I would think that the people in our day would also be really glad to hear something like that in a day with runaway inflation and the printing of money and fiat currency, that we would also love to have a consistent standard and understand the justice of it, and how that justice spills over into how we labor in the Lord's house. So the chapter then finishes out with commands, a reiteration of the commands given by Moses as to the types of offerings and their regulation for the cleansing of the sanctuary, for the Passover, and the feast of the seventh month, or booths. Why do we standardize weights and measures? So that the Lord will receive His portion. The magistracy of the land will have a proper understanding of their responsibility about the religious things. Not in the religious things, but about them. And this is only what Reformed Presbyterianism has been teaching since the days of John Knox. So then, also, these ordinances are given under the forms of the Old Testament. But as we saw above, the section pertains to the New Testament. And from this we infer then that there is a law of the house in our day, and we have seen those portions of Scripture and talked about them in the last hour, so I'll not bring them up again. But also notice that we want to understand the holiness of the place. This is not a place for frivolity or distraction. It is a joyful place in the ordinances of the Lord. Notice also that the erring and the simple are not to be excluded. This is a place for repenting sinners. That was a very sweet portion of the chapter. Maybe it passed you by too, too quickly. But there were offerings that were made for the weak, offerings that were made for those that were small and I don't remember the word that was exactly used here, but they were normally despised. Notice that when Jesus comes in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 2, we hear that he can bear patiently with the ignorant and the erring. Same kind of idea there. We have the cleansing of the house by the blood of the offerings, the Passover, the lamb slain, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Feast of Booths, in which the Lord dwells with his people. And so here are the days of the New Testament set forth in these terms so that we will understand them and the people of God of old would have taken courage in them. All right, we'll end the reading there. Let's stand and